What a pleasure it is to welcome you today to the Family Bible Hour study from this cassette. As we welcome you to the study, we pray that you'll remember in prayer the radio ministry of the Family Bible Hour. It's heard on a number of stations around the world, released on 100 occasions each week, and currently in 19 languages. Please pray that the Lord will receive the honor and the glory, and that believers will be strengthened, blessed, and refreshed, and that unsaved will be reached for our Savior. Now, today's study is entitled The Secret of True Blessedness. It appears on our cassette number 90 and was taken from our program 1850. May the Lord bless you in His own special way as you study His inspired Word with us. I watched the face of each passerby. Some gave the appearance of rest and contentment. They were warm, open, friendly, and relaxed faces. Others were deeply lined. They presented the picture of unrest, turmoil, and insecurity. I thought of them again when I read Dr. George Gallup's poll, which was taken some time ago. He summarized his findings by stating, "Our survey showed that the happiest people are those who have had a meaningful religious experience. The most unhappy are those who frequent taverns." Gallup was not the first to present these facts. The Creator of mankind revealed and released similar statistics centuries ago and recorded them through the inspired pen in Psalm 1. Our meditation today deals with the secret of true happiness. Are you interested? Of course you are. Each of us wants to know the true and lasting happiness that is available. Many are the books which have been written on the subject. These have lined the pockets of the authors, but tragically have done little for the searching reader. Only one book on the subject of happiness can truly guarantee such results. Let me read from the Book of Books and verse 1 of Psalm 1. "Blessed or happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Dr. George Gallup made the comparison between the godly and the godless. Let's hear what the Word of God, as in contrast the verse we have just read, reads like this in verse 6 of Psalm 1. "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." How could a person be happy in that state? Within our psalm of today, we have the godly and godless man. The godly has learned the secret of true happiness for time and eternity, while the godless and unhappy man knows nothing of happiness for time or eternity. In Psalm 1, we learn of the partners of the happy man. He does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He wants nothing to do with them. He does not stand in the way of sinners, nor does he sit with those who scoff at the things of God. Where a present-day psychologist listing the requirements of the happy man, he would not have listed these negative qualities first, but the positive. God, of course, is different, and he does it in the correct fashion. The happy man is the one who separates himself from sin. This is where true happiness begins. It is a complete turning from sin and a determination not to walk, stand, or sit with sinners. Speaking of sin, the same psalmist writes in verse 1 of 32, "Blessed or happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." The truly happy man not only doesn't associate with the sinner, but he knows his sins are forgiven. Here then is the secret of happiness sins forgiven and the ways of sin forsaken. In verse 2, the happy man has pleasure, for we read, he delights or he finds pleasure in the law of the Lord, or the word of the Lord. In this word of the Lord, in this law of the Lord, he meditates day and night. This happy man is inclined toward the Lord and his word, for that's the meaning of the word delighteth. Contrary to what Satan would have you believe, there is great pleasure in the study and meditation upon the word of God. The word blessed, back in verse 1, is better rendered not only happy, but the happinesses. It's the plural form of the word happy. The forgiven man who walks with God has many, many happinesses. Do you? Turning from the partners and pleasures of this godly man, look at his prosperity in verse 3. He is like a tree which has been intentionally planted by a satisfying river. Now well-nourished, spiritually speaking, he leads a prosperous and productive life for God. He bears spiritual fruit, and souls are saved through his life, the life of his happy witness and service. The rich foliage of a spiritually satisfied life brings the comfort and care of shade to the weary. I'm confident that I'm speaking to some dear listeners who long for the pleasures and prosperity of the godly man who refrains from walking with the crowd of the godless world. As I mentioned a moment ago, true happiness comes when one's sins are forgiven. In John's first epistle, chapter 2 and verse 12, we read, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. God forgives sins today, and you can know them forgiven because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for each of us at Calvary. There, my friend, he died for you. There, God was fully satisfied with the price he paid for your every sin. If you will only confess to being a sinner for whom he died, you can be forever forgiven. Will you repent of your sin and turn from them? Will you believe? Will you repent, believing that Jesus died for you? If so, the rich promise of God's word in 1 John 1:9 is still true. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, turn confessing your sins and become the person you long to be, truly happy and finding pleasure and spiritual prosperity in the joy of eternal forgiveness. There is, as you've noticed, another man in Psalm 1. In contrast to the godly man, he is the godless man. Verse 4 teaches us, he is powerless. He's like the chaff driven by the wind. In contrast to the godly man, firmly planted by the satisfying river, he is at the mercy of every sin and temptation being borne by the strongly driven wind. So driven, he is not the master of his own soul and destiny. He is as powerless against the onslaught of Satan as the chaff which fills the air. In the coming day of judgment, this powerless one, who was driven by the winds of a godless world, will be unable to stand when summoned to the great white throne judgment, the judgment bar of God. He will not be acquitted. Then it will be too late for acquittal. Then the Savior's offer of salvation will have been eternally withdrawn. But the worst is yet to come. Verse 6 tells us, the ultimate end of the godless man, the man who refused to accept the Savior and live godly in life is to perish. Dare I repeat the awful word? Perish. But that was not God's desire. That was the choice of the godless. All who will eternally inhabit the lake of fire do so by choice. They will have chosen to reject the Lord Jesus Christ, their only hope of salvation. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Friend, will you come to the Savior? Oh, my God loves you. The Lord Jesus died and paid the price for your every sin. Now then, will you believe He died for you and accept Him as your Savior? Only then will you truly know the secret of happiness. Are you a godless, wind-driven sinner on your way to hell? Or are you a godly, happy, satisfied, spiritually prosperous person on your way to enjoying life eternal in the presence of God? Let's pray together. The Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, and that you are glory-bound. Father, we pray for every dear listener today. Many have deep concerns about their eternal soul, and we pray that just now, by a deciding grace, they will put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved and died for them. We pray in Thy name for Thy glory. Amen.